Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elijah Moore thing is going to be something we got to talk about. But the reason why we played that sound is I think there is this sense that now that Deshaun is out for the season and, you know, again, the conversation we're going to be having all day, all week, all year is, has Deshaun played his last game for the Cleveland Browns? Do you offload the contract? A million different kind of tributaries of that. But the reality is you still have 10 games to go, including another game coming up this Sunday against Baltimore. And just going to be honest with you, I think there is this perception that the worst is over for the Cleveland Browns. I think this week becomes about making that the reality. Because I think one of the things that was painfully obvious after Deshaun went out of that game was, at least when it came to DTR, the quarterback change that I was told by pretty much everybody was going to change everything. And you got to give that locker room a chance. Turns out it didn't lead to a win. And it led to a lot of procedural issues. It led to a lot of dumb penalties. It led to drops. It led to, just dysfunction in general. At least on one side of the ball, the defense had a pretty darn good day. So it's going to be really interesting if now you have another opportunity every week from here on out is trying to prove that Deshaun was the problem and that you can fix this offense, you being Kevin Stefanski, you being this offensive coaching staff, that you can fix this thing now that you don't have to be shackled to playing Deshaun Watson. But that taste of, hey, Elijah Moore didn't play in the first quarter. What was that? It's a team thing. But we're going to keep that in-house. You can't keep it in-house forever, Kev. You can't. If you want to keep it in-house, you might want to do a really radical thing right now, which is win games. Any games. Didn't have to be good games at this point. Didn't have to look good. Just win games. Because yesterday became another stone in just what has been a rock pile, rubble, avalanche, however you want to say it, of awful football. And Browns fans, like, I'll be honest with you guys, I'm so tired of being embarrassed about the Cleveland Browns. Like, none of this first hour, guys, has been all that much of logic. It's just been pure emotion. It's just been, and I've tried to. For 3 years, I've tried to just logic it, right? At some point, I started compartmentalizing my own emotions, my own frustrations. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. And it's only going to go one direction here. Unless you can pull the nose up on this thing real quick. 216-474-0092. We obviously have started the show talking about the folks in the crowd on Sunday who were cheering Watson's injury. And in fairness, I don't think it was a huge amount of the crowd. Not that that makes it any better. One person doing it, it's bad enough. 10 people doing it, it's worse. 100 people doing it, they're really not good. But I really, really felt like the locker room, even though part of what they were saying had some real merit to it, man, do I think they sounded tone deaf yesterday. Madeline in Cleveland, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I just pretty much yelled for 45 minutes. So I feel better now. How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think the last 24 hours have been filled with a lot of emotion, a lot of frustration. But if you've been a Cleveland Browns fan, that's like fairly typical the past couple of years. So you know, same old, but I just kind of wanted to touch on, you know, what we've been saying about people cheering for Deshaun Watson's injury. I'll be completely honest. I was one of them. I wasn't at the game. I was watching it. And I think really what it comes down to is this is somebody who, you know, whether it's just allegations or if it's actual fact, this is someone who has this reputation of injuring other people, whether emotionally, physically. So I didn't feel as bad for kind of karma coming back around for him. And he's still getting paid a ton of money to sit at home and recover. Whereas the people who came forward about the assault, you know, they didn't get to sit at home with their $300 million. They're still not part of an organization that is going to care for them and apparently have a ton of people defending Deshaun's actions. So that's kind of where I stand by it. And I think it's important to consider that, you know, we're all for Cleveland and we want the Browns to succeed, but we've got lives outside of sports. And I just didn't like seeing someone like him who didn't engage with the community at all, you know, didn't give back to the community like Myles Garrett. I mean, like Nick Chubb, you know, our beloved heart and soul of the Cleveland Browns, you know, like that's someone who is worthy of respect and empathy. And when he got hurt, like obviously that hurt everybody. But I think Deshaun's situation is a little bit different. And that's just my two cents on it.
Madeline, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course.
So the one thing I'm not going to do is tell anyone how to feel about Deshaun. And I'm not going to scold Madeline for cheering, even though she wasn't at the game. I'm not going to do that because I think there's a lot of telling people how to feel going around and not enough listening. The reality is that approach, which is he's got money. His life is no worse off because he's got money and because, you know, he's basically had every opportunity to succeed. I think there's a lot of people to empathize with that. My counter would be no amount of money is worth not having empathy towards you, but specific to it, this is what the position that Browns fans have been put in. And whether it was, I mean, the Watson wars are just the latest incidents of the Baker wars, of the Sashi wars, and those were a little bit more innocent because those were just about, is Baker good enough? Those were just about, hey, is tanking a viable alternative? And for 3 years, when fans twist in the wind, whether that is female fans, whether that is fans who themselves see maybe themselves in the eyes of Deshaun's victims, whether that is just people who make it just about football and the football wasn't good enough, whatever issue you can have about Deshaun, that was always a possibility on Sunday. And I'm a big believer in self-scouting and learning from your own issues, your own failure. I don't have a choice. If I don't learn from my failure, I don't have a house, I don't have a family, I don't have anything. Can't afford the life that I want to build for my family. So life makes sure that every time I get a boot up the backside, that I learn my lesson. And whether it was deploying players and the specificity of the messaging from players yesterday, whether it was how they've handled this Deshaun thing and continuously drawn it back to and hedge bets and double down and triple down on, well, it's just got to be about the football. It's going to be about the football. And then the football isn't worth it. I'm a little oversimplifying the situation here. But yesterday is on the Cleveland Browns. The last 3 years are on the Cleveland Browns. To some degrees, the guys that I've criticized in this segment, in this hour, Myles Garrett and Greg Newsome, although we haven't played Greg yet, and Jameis, they're a little bit more collateral damage from an organization that said they won an adult in the room and then brought the last 3 years upon their fans. You can't love fans when they're passionate because they say nice things about you, and then when those fans feel disrespected or not listened to or furious, try to tell them how to fan. the Cleveland Browns organization at any point in the last 3 years, including all the way back to the trade, could have avoided a lot of this. 216-474-0092. We got Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, next on 92.3 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.